now, God. The atmosphere has been stirred. In this atmosphere, Lord, let the miraculous happen. In this atmosphere, God, let the miraculous happen. In the name of Jesus, let mountains be removed. Let mountains be removed. In the name of Jesus, let healing come, Lord. I declare it in the name of Jesus. For your presence is right here to heal, to deliver miracles in this house, God. I declare it in the name of Jesus. If there is anybody here this morning that believes that you're about to receive a miracle, I want you to put your hands together and clap unto Jesus.
Thank you. You may be seated.
too long. But I'm going to tell you, I've been seeking God this week. Last week, I brought you the sermon, Position Yourselves for Victory. And today, we're positioning ourselves for miracles. Where Jesus is, the miraculous happens. And Jesus is in this place today. He is not leaving this place without miracles happening in your life. This is what God's here to tell you. Hallelujah. 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 Some of you are going to go back home and you're going to see the miracle right there in front of you. Because you've been fasting, you've been praying, and you've been praising. And God says when you have done that, He says there is more that He's going to do in your life. Hallelujah. I hope you receive that. Because if you're not in the position to receive it, you won't receive it. So please stay with me for these next few minutes. God, let me say in this place, is going to do the miraculous. He has set it up for today. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12 says that by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And today is a second sermon in the theme, positioning ourselves. It's important that we're positioned in the right place to receive from God. If you're out of position, you could miss everything that God has for you. So it's important that the Church of Jesus Christ, believers, be in the right position to receive. And I want to say today that many of us are in the position to receive what God is going to pour out. Last week we spoke on positioning ourselves for victory. And I've got to tell you that I've been receiving testimonies this week of breakthroughs and miraculous works. Because people have said to me, I'm fasting. One person said to me, actually, even before you called for a fast, they said that I started fasting the week before. And they said, my breakthrough came. They said, this job, they'll probably tell you the story, but they said, this job that I went for, the Lord gave it to me. And not only that one, they said that there is another two on the table. And now she says, I have a choice. It works. And last week we looked at the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we saw Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat. He's in the valley of decision. He's facing a great external threat. Not just one enemy, but there is three coming against him. There was an alliance that was coming against him to destroy him and all of Israel, producing insurmountable odds for victory. In the natural, there was no way that he was going to win the battle. The odds were set heavily against him. He was in a very serious position, and he found himself having to turn to the Lord in prayer. He had to reposition himself, and he turned to God and he says, Lord, we don't know what to do. I don't know if anyone has ever been in that position where you just don't know what to do, what else to do, because you have done everything in the book, everything that everybody has told you, and now you're saying, I just don't know what else I can do. Jehoshaphat turned to God and He called for a fast. God directed him. Bring in the FPP. Bring in fasting. Bring in prayer. And bring in praise. All three are powerful weapons against the enemy. But when you put three of them together, they become a dynamic weapon of mass destruction. I don't know if anyone has ever done it, but if you have found the strength to fast and to pray and praise God, let me tell you something. There are mountains that will be moved. Amen. There are miracles that happen, and people have tried it this week, and God has moved. And so some of us have been fasting, and we've been praying, and we've been praising. And today, we are coming, and we're saying, Lord, we want to see it. Amen. We want to see it. Amen. If you are God, you say that you are God, then you've got to show yourself in my situation. You say you're awesome, but Lord, today, I want to see your hand. I want to see your glory at the hands of the apostles where many signs and wonders wrought. Today, this Sunday, March 2019, God says you shall see the glory of God if you can open your eyes and position yourself to receive it. I've got to tell you this. That since last week, there has been a shift in the atmosphere. I don't know if anyone has ever felt it. I don't know if anyone is even feeling it right now, but I've got to tell you, there's been a shift in the atmosphere because people have been praying, people have been praising, and people have been fasting. And so the atmosphere has shifted. You know what happens when we begin to do that? The enemy is not going to lay down and just take everything that we're doing. He's going to come up against us. And I've also been hearing of how the opposition of the enemy has been heightened, and the battles that we are facing have become fierce. But I want to tell you today that the Lord says that the battle is His. Amen. The Lord said, take your hands off it. Give it to me. He says, I will fight for you. He says, all you need to do is just stand still, open your mouth, and begin to praise me. Because He says, when you praise me, even when the battle is fierce, He says He will go ahead of you and He will defeat your enemies. And so today we are ending. We're coming to the end of our fast. We're coming together to receive our breakthrough, our miracles in the name of Jesus. We saw last week as well, I'm just recapping here, that the importance of fasting. Because Jesus said in Matthew 17, the disciples, it was the disciples that came to Jesus and they're saying, Master, why can't we not cast this demon out of this little boy? This little boy had epilepsy. The demon was throwing him into water so that he could be drowned, or into fire so that he could burn to death. And they tried all that they could to deliver this boy. I find it amazing because these were guys who walked with Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. They had the Master around them, but yet still they could not do what they needed to do and release this little boy from demons. And Jesus' response to them was that this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. And so this morning, I stand in the authority of God, and I command every stubborn thing in your life name of Jesus. And I command them to come out in Jesus' name. Loose God's people. Let them go in Jesus' name. We established last week that to pray effectively, part of our prayer is always accompanied by praise. That this is something that we must establish. Because Jesus, when they asked, the disciples asked, you know, Lord, how do we pray? Jesus says, you know, pray this. Oh, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What Jesus was saying, even before you begin asking, he says, lift up the name of the Father. Use that as a principle. I'm going to tell you something. It works. He says, lift up the Father. And that's what we've been doing. When we've been praising God, we've been lifting up the Father. And then he says, ask. He says, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What Jesus was saying is that when the kingdom of God comes on earth here, that's when the miraculous happens. He said, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near you. This is what Jesus says. And who carries Jesus, you see, is the embodiment of the kingdom of God. When we talk about the kingdom of God being on earth, what Jesus is saying, he says, the kingdom of God is within me. He goes a little bit further and he says, the kingdom of God is within you. So everywhere you go, you carry Jesus. You carry the kingdom of God, which means that everything that Jesus can do, you should be able to do also. Isn't that great? I'm going to tell you. Last week, when I spoke about this boy being delivered from Jesus from demons, and I began to declare about the authority that we have over every demonic power, because the Bible says that God has given us authority over demons and over sicknesses. That's why I don't worry, because I know who I am and I know what I carry. And all of us, we carry the kingdom of God in us, and we carry power and authority with us and in us. And therefore, there is no demon that can stand in front of you. So when I noticed last Sunday morning, you see how the enemy's working? Because all week, I was talking to God about what I was going to say last week. And the Lord knew that and the demons also knew that I was going to speak about this boy who had epilepsy and how Jesus delivered him. So at 8:30 last week, Sunday morning, I'm getting a private call coming through my phone. Now, I don't know if anybody here is the same, but when private calls come through, I don't answer them. Because usually it's somebody trying to sell you, trying to get you to switch your gas or your electricity or something like that. And so I don't answer them. So I let them go. But I notice all day the private calls are coming through. But on Sundays, it's difficult for me sometimes to answer the phone because I'm so engaged in the service of God. So I'm at home, sitting down with my feet up, watching TV. Does anybody watch TV here? It's not a sin, you know. And this private call comes in. A private call comes in. And I thought to myself, let me just answer it. There's a man on the other side of the phone, and he says, can you pray for me? I mean, I pray for anybody who has to pray. And I said, well, what's your name? And he mumbled something. I didn't get his name. He mumbled something. And then I didn't actually get his name. But then I said, what do you want to pray for? What do you want me to pray for? And he gives me a list of things. Most of them didn't make sense. He says, I want you to pray for the government. Oh, I want you to pray for my cupboard. I want you to pray for my sofa. He just wasn't making sense at all. So I'm thinking something is really strange here. I don't know if anyone has ever experienced anything like that, or is it just me? They come for me. I don't know why. So, because I'm the... I think that's what it is, please. So, anyway, I thought to myself, let me pray for him. I began to pray for this man. And as soon as I began to pray for him, the man on the other end of the phone began to manifest. The demons in him rose up. He was hissing like a snake. He was rattling like a snake. He was making all sort of strange noises. And I'm thinking to myself, I was just about to say, Kirby, stop messing around. Because my brother-in-law, this is the sort of thing that he would do. I was just about to say, stop, because I'm thinking, how... You know, you heard what I spoke about that morning, and here you are on the phone messing around. And so as I increased the fire, this is what you have to do with those demons. Fire, in the name of Jesus. I sent in the fire, and he began to choke and hiss even more. And I realized that this wasn't Kirby, but this was a demon. Amen. Praise God for that. And so I asked him his name, and I asked him his assignment, because you know, when you're faced with situations like that, there is a purpose, there's a reason that they have been sent. I said, what is your name? What is your assignment? He said, my name is Legion. If you understand, when Jesus cast out the demon out of the man, his name was Legion. Legion is 5,000 men, a section of the Roman army. So it means that there were 5,000 demons in this man. He says, my name is Legion. And I said, what is your assignment? And he says, I am not letting that little boy go. I am not coming out of the body of that little boy. And I increased the fire in the name of Jesus. And he was going on, talking all sort of stuff, and I command him to be still. He was still in Jesus' name, because we have authority, you see, over demons. You can tell them what to do. You can tell them to shut up. You know that, you remember I spoke last week about the power that we have in praise. When we begin to praise God, it silences the enemy. We carry power, saints. You've got to realize who you are. Power. Authority. You carry Jesus within you. The demon became still, and then he went off the phone. The reason I'm saying this is for us to understand who we are, what we carry. It's very difficult to try and deliver someone over the phone. I will always tell them, let's meet up together, let's come to the church. Over the phone is a new experience for me. Maybe some of you have done it, but this was a new thing for me. But I want us to know that this spiritual kingdom that we have been speaking about is very, very real. It's very, very real. I don't want to scare you or anything, but if you say that you're a child of God, I just want to tell you, as you move from seat to seat, as you move from day to day, they are listening, they are planning, scheming. But if you know who you are in Christ and what you carry, you will know that whatsoever you bind here on earth is bound in heaven. See what the word says? And whatsoever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Amen. And so I've come today in the authority that God has given me. I've come to release it. I release it. I release it in this house. All we need to be is in position to receive. So how will it happen? I recall Jesus' words in Acts chapter 1 when he says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You can do nothing of yourself. Nothing of any significance unless the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, unless the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You can live an ordinary Christian life, and that's okay. But you can be extraordinary when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." I don't know, but that's where I want to be. There are signs, and there are wonders, there are miracles that needs to be performed. I'm going to tell you more and more today. And God is looking for people who he can use. Amen. Amen. This is a mandate for the church. The body of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 10:8. He says, heal the sick. He says, raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is the mandate for the church. How many of us are moving in that dynamic? Or do we just love to come to church and receive? But God says, I want to send you. I want to send you to make a difference in this end time. He's called the church saints to wake up and be dynamic in this time. Speak in the atmosphere. Cause miracles to happen by the very sound of your voice, by the touch. Oh, the Spirit of God is within you. God lives within you, so you can do it. As you will know, after the outpouring of the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 2, the disciples began to perform miracles. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. By the hands of the apostles. Many signs, many wonders wrought. Like I said, it is the Lord that does it. He does the miracles. But he wants to use us. But we must become conduits for his power. It requires for us to be in the right position. And that position is to dwell in him. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit." Apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. So today, we're looking at positioning ourselves to bear much fruit. You see, a miracle is not magic, or it's not coincidence. It is an extraordinary and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws. Therefore, it has to be attributed to the hand of God. It is something of the Spirit. You see where I come from? Where I come from, I don't mean Jamaica, but I mean in my daily walk, miracles happen. Because I have made a conscious decision to position myself to live, to dwell in Christ. That's the position that I'm in. I live, I abide in Jesus. We have a very, very tight relationship. So for a miracle to happen in your life, it will depend on where you live. It depends on your lifestyle, your belief, and your expectations. You see, if you do not expect anything, you will not get anything. But if you expect greatness in your life, you will receive greatness. This is how it works. If you expect healing today, you will receive healing. There has to be an expectation. You need to dwell in the realms of the miraculous. You see, living in the miraculous is a position of faith. We live by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. You see, a lot of people will never experience a miracle because they live by sight. They're moving around expecting to see it. But God says, if you can move into the spiritual, move by the Spirit, God says you will see it. By faith, not by sight. Jesus said to Thomas in John 20:29, he says, Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. That's not faith. But Jesus goes on to say, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Is there anybody here that cannot see right now but can believe it? Is there anybody that you're not seeing it now, but you're believing it? I'm in that position right now. I fix myself in the place. I cannot see it, Brian. I cannot see it. But I believe it because God said it. God says, position yourself to receive. And so I position myself and I say, God, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, God. You see, I believe today, more than ever before, we've been playing church for too long. Playing church for too long. It's become a religious activity. But I don't want to live in a religion. I want to live in reality. I believe that the church has been called to reposition itself, to move from an earthly position to a heavenly one. From a natural position to one of the supernatural. And that is why Jesus says, when you pray, pray in the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is where the supernatural takes place. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to tell you, in heaven, there is no sickness. In heaven is a place of the miraculous. And Jesus says, if the earth could move to that realm of heaven, God says, and begin to live in there. God says, you will see it. You will see it. There is a need there for us to reposition our minds. Our minds, because that is where it starts. It's a difficult place for many of us. It's a stumbling block. But that is where it starts. That is the entry point. And that is why the scripture calls for our minds to be renewed. Be transformed. You see, many of us are waiting for God to do it. He does it. But it means that we have to make the first move. Yeah. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12 and verse 2. And so we must have a mind like the mind of Christ. What kind of a mind does Jesus have? He calls us to have that kind of a mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Many of us, you see, we think that we cannot be like Christ because he's God. But I'm going to tell you, it's very easy to be like him when you're in the Spirit, when you live in the Spirit, because he's Spirit. We are called to imitate him. And so that's why I don't make any excuses for my actions. Because I am doing everything that Jesus did. The only thing that I need to do now is go and raise some dead people. But most of the others I have done. And we have been called to have this mind like Christ, to imitate him and do everything that he does. That's where the miracle starts. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ, and he raised us up together. Do you know who you are? He raised us up together, and he made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That gets me excited. I'm going to tell you that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. You see, when you are alive in Christ, when you abide in him, as we read in John, when you become like him, you have been raised with him, and you sit in the realm of heavenly places, and you can sit and you can look, and you just like Christ look, and you say, yeah, there's a miracle there. Yeah, there's a mountain being moved there. Yeah, there's a breakthrough here. We sit with Christ in heavenly places. You see, a lot of people think that sitting is a passive thing. You just sit and do nothing. But when you sit with Christ, you are active. That's what it means. When you sit with Christ in heavenly places, it means that you are with him. And when Christ moves, you move. When Christ heals the sick, you heal the sick. When he opens the blind eyes, you open the blind eyes. Because Christ is in you. He moves with you. He sits with you. Everything he does, you do. We carry him. The kingdom of God is within us. The miraculous operates from us, from our hands, from our mouths. Wherever we go, the miracle follows us. Don't you know who you are? So what will hinder the miracle in your life today? It's not doubt, because Thomas doubted. Many doubted. People even in the church are doubting. But what will hinder your miracle is unbelief. Listen, hear what Romans chapter 13, 53 to 58. I'm coming to the end right now. It says, it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues. Could the musicians get ready? Something is about to happen. Just get your hearts ready right now. I'm reading this. Something is about to happen in this place. So they were astonished. And they said, where did this man get his wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And didn't he have some sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. It's not that Jesus could not perform the miracles. It's not that he could not do it. He chose not to do it because of their unbelief. His power was not the problem. because it's the same power that you and I carry. So his power is not the problem. His miraculous abilities have been prophesied in the Old Testament, Isaiah 35, verses 5 to 6. He astonished his disciples with his miracles, Matthew 14, 33. He confounded his enemies, John 11, 47. He exercised divine power over infirmity, John 9, verse 1. He exercised divine power over the laws of nature, John 6, 19. Over material objects, John 2, verse 1. Over the demonic world, Matthew 12, 22. And even over death, they are clear examples where miracles were performed on the behalf of people who even didn't have any faith. Luke 7, 11 to 14. How much faith does a corpse need? If you haven't got faith today, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to have faith for you. There's nobody here who has faith. I'm going to stand. I'm going to have faith for you, because I believe God. I know his power. I know what he can do. He's done it, and he's ready to do it again in your life. Is there anybody in this place, come on, who believes God for a miracle? Please stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Is there anybody in this place who believes God for a miracle? Is there anybody in Eden Christian Center who believes God right now for a miracle in your life? I release miracles in here today in the name of Jesus. Fasting. We're going to pray for ourselves. Please, I want you to ask God to help your unbelief. Help your unbelief. Confess your doubts, lack of faith to him, and ask him to meet you where you are spiritually, to help you believe that he's able to do whatever he says he will do in your life. Pray for yourself. Come against doubt. In the name of Jesus. No. Doubt, we come against you in the name of Jesus. I stand in this place, God, and I come against doubt and unbelief in the name of Jesus in this house. What I want you to do, the next thing I want you to do is just to praise God, worship him just for a little while. We can experience more miracles when we spend time worshiping God, when we usher in God's power into our life in a fresh way. He comes. Somebody just begin to worship him right now. This is a faith act. This is a faith act. I'm going to worship God for myself. You need to worship him for yourself. You see, when you worship, when you praise, come on, Georgia, the miracle happens. You don't need to feel. You need to act by faith. Yes, God. We bless you, Lord. We magnify your name. We glorify you. Be exalted, be exalted, be exalted. This is what I'm going to do. If there's anybody that needs a miracle, I'm going to ask you to have faith and come forward. I know that miracles are about to be released in this house. I'm going to ask you to come forward. It's a step of faith in God. You praise, you fasted. Some of you are even going to come. I know it. God showed me. You're going to come and you're going to be standing for others. Because there are others in your life that you know that needs a miracle. You need to have faith for them. a miracle is about to happen in the lives of people right here. Shimarababako Shurebebek Britikiya Konaramamayos. Come on, church. If you don't need a miracle, that's fine. No pressure, but I just want you to come. Just come really close. God is going to release it right now.
Assignment.